Good morning. It is 8:16 a.m. and you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio this morning, I have Alaire Huey, who is an organizer for an upcoming event that we're going to talk about. And we have Ellie Schmidt on the phone line. I'm going to bring her up and see if she's here. Hello, good morning.
Hey, Caitlin, how are you?
Hey, Ellie. All right, Ellie's here. And good morning, Alaire.
Hi.
All right, so we're all here, and we are here to talk about an event called From Standing Rock to Herring Rock, Protecting the Sacred. And it's a film screening and a discussion that is next Wednesday, January 10th, from 6 o'clock to 8:30 in the evening at the Shikaquan Nakahiti House. And Alaire, could you just start by telling us about that title, From Standing Rock to Herring Rock, Protecting the Sacred? What is this all about?
Yeah, so with this event, what we're hoping to do is sort of tie together these two seemingly pretty different events and ask the question to Sitka, sort of how are they similar? In what ways do we see these sort of colonial extraction forces that are affecting Native people? And so for those that weren't, they don't remember maybe Standing Rock or weren't familiar, it was basically the construction of a pipeline across the Missouri River that affected the water supply of the Standing Rock Lakota and their sacred burial grounds. So it was this way that there was this extraction of a resource that negatively affected the Native people. And so what we're kind of asking here is how does the herring sacrificiary also negatively affect the Tlingit people of this land?
Okay, and doing so with a film screening this next week. The two films are Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock, and then a herring opera. So you kind of have a film representing each event, is that
yeah.
the idea?
Yeah, so we have a film from kind of each event, and then we'll have a discussion afterwards to kind of talk about that as a community, have some dialogue around those really big and sort of scary issues to talk about.
And who brought this event to be? How did it come into fruition?
A lot of people. there's sort of a lot of groups that are organizing around historical trauma and the herring fishery, and so we sort of tied it all together. So I've been a part of the Health Summit working group around, so it's Community Conversations Around Historical Trauma Working Group, which is a mouthful. And we had a really cool event around historical trauma last month, and then we've been wanting to continue that conversation. And so we sort of tied it in and are hoping to support the work that is already being done by both the tribe and the Herring Rock Water Protectors that started organizing around Standing Rock last year.
Okay. And let's bring Ellie into the conversation for a moment. Ellie, you are a filmmaker that one of your films is going to be shown at the event. Could you tell us a little bit about your film, A Herring Opera?
Yeah, so it's the first kind of longer film I've made, and basically the idea is looking at all these different narrative threads surrounding the herring spawn in the spring and kind of bringing them together through this kind of operatic form. So I put each of these scenes over opera songs to kind of convey that it's a very complicated issue, but there's a lot of emotion and these kind of strong narrative arcs at play.
And Ellie, I know from talking with you about this film that you kind of originally you had this idea because you're an underwater filmmaker and the idea of herring intrigued you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The original idea for the film was given to me by Andrew Tomes. He thought it would be cool to film the herring spawn from underwater. And so I started looking into herring as a larger issue and getting involved with other people and talking to fishermen, and so it kind of expanded from there.
And you are a fisherman yourself.
That's right. I actually worked a little bit on one of the tenders during the herring spawn, so that was a really cool experience.
And you are a deckhand in the summers, or what's your experience being a part of the fisheries in Sitka?
Yeah, so I work on Eric's boat, the Igata, Eric Jordan. I've also worked on a cucumber boat and a crab boat, but salmon fishing is kind of my main deckhand job.
So you're not just a filmmaker, you are kind of intimately involved with the fisheries in Sitka.
Yeah, that's right. It's cool to kind of see the issue from all these different sides, but I do have a deep love for commercial fishing and especially how in Alaska it's managed pretty well, usually.
So, Ellie, getting back to this idea that you're going to film this intense herring fishery from underwater, what was that like, and how did that go for you? And that just kind of sounds terrifying.
Yeah, so the last couple of days of filming, before I had to leave town, actually found me on this island over by McNaughty looking for the herring spawn because I hadn't found it yet, kind of desperately staying out there in a tent and trying to see if I could swim around and find some spawn. During the actual commercial fishery, we thought it would be too dangerous to get in the water with the boats, so I actually stayed above water for that part. But the underwater sequences involve the spawn itself and the herring, and also some of the native harvesting with the trees and how they gather the eggs.
So your film shows both the commercial fishery and the native, traditional native harvest of herring roe.
Mm-hmm, that's correct, yeah.
So this kind of gets us back to the main theme of the event. Allaire, it says here on the poster, the event is about historical trauma and natural resources. What is historical trauma for people who might not know?
Yeah, so historical trauma is generally defined by multiple traumas that are experienced over time through generations to a group of people, which I know is like still really jargony. So basically, some examples of that are often cited in the literature are genocide, massacres, or the prevention of a group of people from practicing their culture, their spirituality. So the trauma part of that is when we're talking about Alaska, when we're talking about this issue, we're talking about colonization. And so we're talking about not only sort of like the one-off event when the Russians got here, but we're also talking about the continued policies, including, you know, the assimilation policy of boarding schools, which were highly abusive, as well as the continued sort of resource extractions that sort of make it difficult for Tlingit people to continue practicing their cultures, right? So that's sort of the trauma part. The historical part is the way that our bodies carry trauma and pass it on to our offspring, both genetically and sort of socially. Like there's ways that we pass on trauma that one generation to the next. And we know that in a lot of research, and we know that because that's what Native people have been saying. So the tribe has been fighting to sort of increase their ability to gather herring roe for years. And so what we're doing in this event is just trying to support them in the work that they've been doing.
And how, so that's the kind of the tie-in between the historical trauma and the natural resource for us here in the Herring Rock side of the event. And it kind of mirrors somewhat the Standing Rock event.
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially, there's this way that colonialism is extractive, right? Colonialism happens when a group of people invades a land for the purpose of settling and extracting resources. And so when the extracting of resources happens on the backs of Native peoples, that resource extraction can often cause trauma, which is then carried over through time. So that's the historical trauma part of it. And so at Standing Rock, that was shown through this the creation of this pipeline through a water source. And in Sitka, I think we have to ask our question, the question of what, how does colonialism and historical trauma show up in our community? And how are we going to reconcile that? How do we create a space of healing?
So, Ellie, I'm wondering, when you made your film, did you go into it with this kind of lens of historical trauma and natural resources, or is that something that came out through the process of making the film?
Yeah. So when I first started making the film, I was introduced to the issue through the SDS, so I kind of knew that it was this kind of environmental issue. But the more I learned from people I was working with on all sides of the issue, I started, you know, learning about these historical long-term uses of the herring and these kind of modern, how it's hard for people to kind of reconcile that. But the movie tries really hard to look at all the different sides and present it to the viewers in sort of an objective way. To let people kind of make up their minds of what's going on. But that did come out for me a lot, and that was an interesting thing for me to learn.
I've been talking with Alaire Huey, and that was just Ellie Schmidt there on the phone. She's a filmmaker for the event From Standing Rock to Herring Rock, Protecting the Sacred, which is a film screening of two films, one from the Standing Rock event and one about our own herring fishery here in Sitka. And that event is Wednesday, January 10th at 6 o'clock at the Shikaquan Nakahiti. Alaire and Ellie, thank you both so much for coming in and giving us this information.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Have a good rest of your day.
You